The title of today's shiur is Pesach Spring Cleaning. It's not what you think. So I think that most people will understand the title of today's shiur to mean that I will speak on the fact that women do spring cleaning around Pesach time. And the real mitzvah is not what you think it is. The real mitzvah is making sure there is no chametz in the house and not spring cleaning. And thus the title, Pesach Spring Cleaning, it's not what you think. So yes, I will touch on that also, but what I really meant in the title is the following. I usually say over Rabbi Schlesinger's weekly shiur, which he said the previous week on Thursday night. This week I will not do that. I will do some spring cleaning of my own personal thoughts before Pesach. I've been thinking about them for some time, and now before Pesach, learning from the women, I'll do some Pesach spring cleaning. And it's not what you think, and what I meant with that is, not what you think that I'll be devoting this entire shiur to women spring cleaning before Pesach. The beginning of the shiur will, in fact, conclude Rav Schlesinger's shiur of 2 weeks ago, where we spoke about, if you remember, V'achriken Yetzu B'chush Gadol, what the R'chush Gadol, the great wealth was, that it was not our the cash, the valuables, the gold and silver we were taking with, but rather the spiritual great wealth. And it will involve the real subject for a few moments of Pesach spring cleaning. Now, at the end of that shiur, we didn't have time to do it last week. At the end of the shiur, Rav Schlesinger, to put it mildly, did not encourage spending Pesach for most people in many hotels. And what he was saying was, if v'achriken yetzu b'chush gadol means, as we explained, not r'chush rov, not in quantity, a lot of money, but rather r'chush gadol, and r'chush gadol means I was thinking today, the thought occurred to me, maybe that has something to do with Shabbos HaGadol. This was the Shabbos before Pesach, where we would find out what the great Rechush Gadol is. The Rechush Gadol is not in quantity, but rather in quality. It's a godlistic Rechush, as we explained. It's a great, valuable inheritance that we have. And what is that? That is Torah Umitzvahs. So if that's what we have, this great rechush, spiritual rechush, so he was saying, unless someone is an ones, unless someone is old or frail or sick, can't make Pesach for themselves, can't make the storm for themselves, they need help, so they have a good reason why to go to a hotel. But a regular person to go to many hotels, there are some hotels which have a very good Torah-dika program, but unfortunately there are many hotels where the environment in the hotel is not quite, without going into details, but is not quite in keeping with Rechush Gadol, with the great spiritual wealth that we have. So he said over a beautiful thought, which I didn't have time for last time, from the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe once came to a city, and he asked someone there, I think he came to the city of Munkach, and he asked someone there, why at the end of the Seder do we say the pizmon of Echad Miyodeya, Shnayim Miyodeya, Shlosha Miyodeya, who knows one, who knows two, who knows three, why are we saying that at the end of the Seder? So the person he asked didn't know the answer. The Belzer Rebbe said, I'll tell you the reason. The reason is, if you go to a rich man and you ask him, how much money are you worth? So normally a rich person, he won't tell you, he's not going to tell you how many millions or billions he's worth. But if the rich person had a few drinks and he's full of wine, so then nichnas yayin yetzei soid. If the wine goes in, the secret comes out. And then you'll ask him the same question, how much are you worth? He may actually tell you how much he's worth. So it's the same with Klal Yisrael. We are very rich. At the beginning of the Seder, if you ask us, we may not tell you. But after we drink the four cups of wine, at the end of the Seder, if someone asks us, what is the Rechush Gadol? What are you so rich? Oh, you know what? We're rich when we already drank a little wine. Echad miyodeya, you know what one is to us? That's Hashem. And two is the Shnei Luchos HaBris, the Luchos that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai. And three are the Ovis. You know what our heritage is? We come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you know what four is? Four is the Arba Imois, our four mothers. Rivka, Rachel, Sarah, and Leah, those are our four mothers. Five is the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of the Chumash. Six is the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Seven is the Shiva Yemei Shabbata, the 7 days of the week, which all revolve around Shabbos. Eight is the Bris Milah. Nine is a woman who's pregnant for 9 months, and during those 9 months, the Malach is teaching the entire Torah to the child. And Asara Miyadea, that's the Aseres Hadibres, and so on and so forth. So in other words, what we're saying at the end of the Seder is, you want to know what my richness is, not the millions that I might or might not have in the bank account. My richness is Echad Miyadea, is Torah and Mitzvahs and Gemilas Chasadim and Avodah and Tefillah. That is the Rechush Gadol that we left Mitzrayim with. And therefore, how can a person, unless he's honest, as we said, he has some emergency, how can a regular person spend time in many of the hotels which the Avira, the spirit of the hotel, is perhaps not in keeping 100% with the rich heritage which Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with? So how can you, in fact, spend your days of Pesach, where you're supposed to rejuvenate yourself in your spiritual treasure, how can you do that? So someone at the shir came over to me after the shir and said that he, in fact, three times in his life went to a hotel for Pesach. Why did he go to a hotel? Because he blamed it on his wife. He said, because his wife said, it's too hard. I can't, too hard to do Pesach. So because of the pressure, he went to the hotel, and he spoke to Rav Schlesinger about it. Rav Schlesinger said, I have to give a shir to the women and explain to them that Pesach is not spring cleaning time. They sent around a video of a woman saying goodbye to her daughter through a partition. And it was a very emotional moment. It seemed that the woman was in prison, and her daughter is to ask her, how long are you going to be in this prison? And from behind the partition, a see-through partition, she says, you know, it's not going to be long, I'll be back. And then the camera shows you that the woman is in a bathtub scrubbing away the mold that is in the bathtub preparing for Pesach. So that's the prison that she tells her daughter she will return soon, and the daughter shouldn't be so emotionally upset. So that is the type of thinking where Rav Schlesinger said he has to explain what you do have to do for Pesach and what you don't have to do for Pesach. Maybe we should, instead of having spring cleaning, we should have winter cleaning. We should have it at a different time of the year. But Pesach, we should only focus on chametz, and thereby Pesach will not be so difficult. And if it won't be so difficult, perhaps those wives who pressure their husbands to go to hotels, which today Pesach hotels is probably a multi-billion dollar business. We don't want to hurt anyone's business, but the fact is, we have to keep in mind over Pesach the Rechush Gadol that we left Mitzrayim with, and women should in fact not do spring cleaning, but they should do only chametz cleaning. Now that we've spoken about that, I would like to get to what I said was my own personal Pesach spring cleaning. This type of spring cleaning, I think you're allowed. I just wanted to share with you two thoughts, which these are my own thoughts, not that I heard from Rav Schlesinger. and I hope you'll enjoy it as well. What I first would like to share with you is something that I had the schus of saying at a kiddush in Lakewood, New Jersey, the Ir HaTorah of Lakewood, for my granddaughter who was recently born. And she was named after my mother, Olah HaShalom, and also after my grandmother, Olah HaShalom, who I never had the schus to meet. I believe she unfortunately perished in the Holocaust. So my mother's name was Zelda, and my grandmother's name was Sora, and the baby's name was Sora Zelda. And I think one of the participants here at the Shear's mother had the same name, Sora Zelda. So I had to speak at the Kiddush, and it came to my mind that Kiddush took place Parshas Tazria, and I had a steer, I had a contradiction between two pshatim that we said about birds. And I spoke to Ravelsky about it, and I had the same idea as Ravelsky, how to answer the contradiction. I hope the shear will not be for the birds, but rather about birds, how it's not a contradiction. Each of these birds give us a different lesson that we should learn from, and the truth is that I've given a shear in the past about each one, and I thought, really, we have to understand why it's not a contradiction one to the other. So let me explain what we are discussing. We find in Parshas Tazria, this is the parsha where a woman who gives birth, so she has to bring, after she gives birth, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, she has to bring certain korbanos, certain sacrifices. So the pasuk says, uv'melos yemei tahara, levein or levas, if the end of at the end of the period of her purity, either giving birth to a daughter or to a son or to a daughter, tavi, she should bring keves ben shnasu loyla, she should bring a lamb, a year old, for the ola sacrifice, uven yona oitor lechatas, and a ben yona, a young pigeon, or a tor, a turtle dove, for a chatas korban, she should bring that to the entrance of the Mishkan to the Kohen. So the Baal HaTurim points out something here which we don't find in the entire Torah. And what is that? These birds, the Ben Yonah and the Tor, they're always mentioned together. The pigeons, the young pigeons, and the turtle doves are always mentioned together. He says this is the only place where the Ben Yonah is put before the Tor. In the rest of the Torah, you always find the Tor is placed first. For example, in Parshas Vayikra, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, it tells you what birds or animals you're supposed to bring for korbanos. So it says, if you bring a bird as a korban, ola, v'hikriv min hatorim, o min b'nei hayon es korbanai. You should bring either from the Torim, from the turtle doves, or from the young pigeons you should bring the korban. So it puts Torim before B'nai Yonah. And in fact, by Yoledes itself, it says what happens if a woman is poor. If she's rich, she brings a sheep for the Ola. But if she's poor, she can't afford it. Then she brings a bird even for the Ola. She doesn't bring a lamb. And what does the pasuk say? Vim lo simtsa yada deisa, she can't afford it. V'lacha shtei sorim o shnei b'nei yona. Echad la'ola v'echad l'chatas. Then she should either bring two torim or two b'nei yona. And one of the pair will be for the Ola korban, instead of a lamb, which he can't afford, and one will be a chatas. So what does it put first? It puts the Torah before the Ben Yonah. And before, in the Yoledes, when the rich woman has to bring a korban, she brings a lamb for an ola, and for the chatas, she can choose either one Ben Yonah or one Torah. Here the Ben Yonah is put first. So why is it that in the entire Torah, we always find a Tor first? Here we find a Ben Yonah first. So the Baal HaTurim gives an explanation which we can only really properly understand if we know a Ramban. The Ramban says that a chicken is not brought on the Mizbech, even though a chicken is a kosher bird. We eat it. We have Empire Chicken under the OU. It's kosher. But for a Korban, you can't bring it on the Mizbech. Says the Ramban, why? Because a chicken is not a faithful bird. It's not faithful to its mate, and it goes around with all other chickens. Such a Korban can't be brought on the Mizbech. Now we have a Tor and a Ben Yona. Both of these are faithful, and that's why they could be brought as a bird offering. But which one is the most faithful? The most faithful is the Tor. And why is that? Because by a Ben Yona, if the mate will die, so the surviving mate will take a different mate. By a Tor, if the mate dies, that bird will never again take a mate. It's so faithful. It's so faithful to its mate that even after the mate dies, it will not take anyone else. So that's why the Torah says, which, of course, both are kosher, because they're not like chickens where the Ben Yona is faithful when the mate is alive. Not like the chicken. So the chicken is the worst category, is not brought on as a korban. But a Tor Ben Yona are. But which one is the highest level? That is the Tor, because it shows the highest degree of being faithful. The second one, if you can't find a Tor, then you bring a Ben Yona. It's interesting to note, Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, in his Sefer on the Ramban called Sum Derech, he points out a tremendous thing. If someone were to ask you, where in the Torah do we find the Midah of Nemonis, faithfulness? Two friends are faithful to each other. A husband and a wife are faithful to each other. Where do you find that? You look through the whole Torah, it doesn't say, be a Nemon, be faithful. But yeah, we know it's something that the Torah wants you to be. The answer is, you find it from this Ramban, from the Torah Ben Yona. Why a chicken is treif, as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, it's possible. You cannot bring it as a korban, and yet the Torah Ben Yona are kosher. So why is the Torah the highest level? Because it shows the highest level of nemonis, of being faithful. That's why it is the first choice. So the Rav Simcha Zissel Brody gives a beautiful mashal. You're in a blackout, and you want to go up a flight of steps. So you could take a candle, and the candle will show you the next step. You walk up one step, the candle will show you the next step. If suddenly the electric company puts on the light and the whole house gets lit up, now you're not going with a candle step by step. You see with the light the entire stairway up to the top. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or, it says in the pasuk. A mitzvah is like a candle, but Torah is like the whole place is lit up. What does it mean? Every one of the Taryag mitzvahs teaches us one single idea, one thing to make us better people, to make us better Yehudim, better Jews. A single thing, but that's only if you look at the mitzvah by itself. But if you turn on the lights, means you look deeply into each and every mitzvah. Each and every mitzvah is connected to the rest of the Torah. If you shine the light of Torah on a mitzvah, then one mitzvah becomes more than one mitzvah. Like here, he brings an example here. The mitzvah is to bring which bird? But if you take the light of Torah and deeply go into the mitzvah, then you find that this mitzvah itself is teaching you not only about the mitzvah, it's teaching you about nemonis, about faithfulness, something that you would think has nothing to do with bringing a bird as a korban. That's the power of Torah. When you shine the light of Torah, it's not only going step by step, like each of the 613 mitzvahs, but the whole house gets lit up, the whole stairway gets lit up. In one mitzvah, through Torah, we could see in each mitzvah all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, and all the other midos, the good character traits that the Torah wants you to keep, we would be able to find in each and every mitzvah if we knew how to apply properly the light of Torah. Having said that, let's go back to the Yoledes. The Yoledes, if she's rich, brings for the Ola a sheep, and for the Chatos, she brings either a Tor or a Benyona. Here, the Torah puts Benyona first. But you told me the Torah is faithful, that the Torah should come first. The answer is, what is the Torah telling you over here? It's not telling you to take two birds. It's telling you to take one bird. Only one bird. If you're poor, then you take two birds. And then the Torah comes before the Benyona. Take two Torahim, first choice. One is a Chatos Korban, one is an Ola Korban. But if you're rich, then for the Ola, you're going to bring a lamb. What are you going to bring for the Chatas? Either one Benyona or one Torah. Here, Benyona is first. You know why? Because the Torah's ways are pleasant. So the Torah doesn't want you to take a Torah in this situation. You know why? Because it's faithful. What's going to happen when you take the one Torah, but it has a mate? It comes out, the mate will never take another mate. The Torah doesn't want to cause that one mate should stay by itself. By, if you're going to take the Benyona first choice here, Benyona, so the surviving Benyona will find another mate. So the Torah didn't destroy the house, they'll find another mate. But by a Tor, you're telling me to take one Tor. What's going to happen to the other one? It's going to stay alone. The Torah didn't want to do that. So in every other place in the Torah, the Torah speaks about two. Let's say right over here, by your lettuce. By your lettuce, you're not rich, you can't bring a lamb. Okay, now bring two Torim, or two B'nai Yonah. Now Torah's first. Because since you're going to take both of them as a Korban, you're not going to leave one by itself left over who will never find another mate. So then the faithfulness of the Torah is more important than the Benyona. That's the most chashuv korban that you could bring. So right here by Yoledes, Torum comes first, by an Ani. But by an Asher, where you're only bringing one, and you have a choice, there Benyona comes first. A beautiful pshat of the Baal Turim. So Rabbi Gorelick, I said this in a different shir in the Daf Yomi, Rabbi Gorelick from our Kashra staff, asked that by the Bris Bein Apsarim, we find that Hashem told Avram, take a Tor and a Gozel. So he put Tor first. But we just said, he told him to take one Tor. Don't you say by one that the other bird should come first? So I gave an answer. I think it's the correct answer. It's a good, very good question. The answer is that here the Torah is giving you a choice, either this one or this one. If you have a choice, then by one bird, you take the Benyona first, and then the Torah. When Hashem told Avram by the Bris Bein Apsarim to take certain animals and certain birds, he didn't give him a choice. He said, whatever Hashem's reason, every animal and every bird represented something. So you're going to have to take the Tor and the Gozel no matter what, because I want this to represent certain ideas, Kabbalistic ideas, whatever the ideas are. So when I'm not giving you a choice, when you have to take both the Tor and the other bird, then take the Tor first, because the Tor is faithful. You're going to have to take both anyway. I'm not giving you a choice. When you have a choice, what should be your first choice? By one bird, don't break up the family, and therefore take the Benyona first. Because the surviving one is going to take another mate. But where it's not a choice, where Hashem is telling you, for whatever reason Hashem had, you must take the Tor and the other bird, then Hashem is going to speak about the Tor first, because that's the more chashuv bird. So this is the lesson that we learned from the Tor, faithfulness. So my question on this was from a different bird. The other bird is called a chasidah. The chasid is in Parsha Shemini, the stork. It's one of the treif birds. The Gemara says, Lama nikra shma chasida. Why is she called chasida? She'oisa chesed im chavruzeh b'mezona. She shares her food with her fellow storks She gets some food. She doesn't take it all for herself. She shares it. So the Chedusha Rim asks the question, so why is she treif? The Ramban says that all the animals and birds that are treif is because you are what you eat, and the bad midos, the bad character traits of a wild bird or wild animal will go into the person, and the person will become like the bird and the animal, what they're eating. But the Chasida does chesed, so if she does chesed, that should be a good animal, a good bird. You should be able to eat it. The Chedusha Rim says, no, but she's doing something wrong also. She's only sharing with her fellow stork. She's not sharing with other birds. She's only sharing her food with fellow storks. What about the pigeons? What about other birds? She's not sharing. So that bird you shouldn't take. Now, the simple way of understanding this Isser by the Chasida is that the Chasida is not so bad as other birds, other wild birds. It's like 50-50. It does chesed, but it doesn't do chesed the right way. It only shares with its fellow birds. What I wanted to suggest in my Sefer Or HaOrois is that that's not the correct understanding. The correct understanding is that the Chasida is totally treif, because her chesed, her kindness, is totally 100% not kindness. It's treif kindness. And why is that so? I based it on something that Rav Elio Dessler in his Sefer Michtav Melio says. Rav Elio Dessler has a kuntris called Kuntris HaChesed, where he speaks all about chesed. And he says that the world is divided into two kinds of people. One are nosnim, and one are notlim. They are the givers and the takers. He has a long thing there. We're not going to go through his entire kuntris, but he makes the following point. If you give something because you want to get, you're not a giver, you're a taker. The worst taker is a murderer. He'll stop at nothing to get what he wants. A stealer is also a taker. So he makes a rule. If you're no sane, al minas to be a no-tail, you're considered a no-tail. You're not a no sane. Because your whole nesina, your whole giving, is only to take. For example, a person gives you a present, a birthday present, and so a no sane gives appreciation back. That's what he says. If you're a taker, you don't appreciate what the other person's doing. Because he gave me a $100 check, my uncle, for my birthday. I deserve $500. Why only $100? If you look at yourself, that everybody's supposed to give to you selfishly, so you always have complaints against people. You're never satisfied. But what happens? So the person who is not satisfied will not be makar tov, will not appreciate. The person who's really a giver, when they get $100, they say, one second, I'm supposed to be giving things to you, and you're giving to me. You gave me $100. The least that I can give you back, I'm supposed to get nothing. My purpose in life is to help you. So you gave me something. The least I can say is thank you. I owe you so much. You gave me $100. You should give me zero. So the nice saying is the one who's makar tov. Now, what happens if you have a shrewd individual? Really, they're a no-tell. And really, they don't even have appreciation. But they know the next time, next birthday, if you're not going to show appreciation to your uncle for the $100, next birthday, you won't even get the $100. You get nothing. So you give appreciation, but what's in your mind? In your mind, your appreciation is just to get from him next time. Or you sell a person, a used car salesman. Or now it's called pre-owned car salesman. It's not used. So the pre-owned car salesman, he's going to sell you a junk. He's not trying to service you. If he would want to service you, he's a nice thing. He's a giver. But if his job, his idea is he wants to separate the $8,000 for the used car, that money, from your wallet. That's his goal. But if he goes over to you and says, give me the $8,000, you say, goodbye. So he says, I'll give you something so that I can get your $8,000. That's this car. After the 30-day warranty, on the 31st day, it dead on arrival. It's he fooled you. He separated you from the $8,000. So he's a nice thing of the used jalopy, of the used car, which he painted up to look good. He's a nice thing, but his real purpose is night tail. He just wants to cheat you out of your $8,000. Is he a nice thing? He gave you something? He gave you nothing. He just got the $8,000. So a nice for a night tail is a night tail. And everybody understands we were put in this world to be a nosen, to give, to help, and not to be a grabber to take. So the Michtav Melio says, I have two questions on this thesis. The first question is Knan, and the second question is Esav. Knan told his children before he died at Savor, a last will and testament of Knan, five things. We're going to say the first two. Love one another, and love to steal. So the Michtav Melio asks, what was Knan giving over to his descendants? Nesina or Natila? He said, love one another. The word Ava, in the middle you have a small word Hav. Love comes from giving. The more you give to another person, the more you love the other person. As the Michtav Melio explains, the more of you is in that other person. The more time and you invest in another person, the more you give them, the more you love them. So Kanan says, love one another, give to each other. And then he says, and love to steal. So is he telling them to be a giver or to be a taker? This same question, similar, is by Esav. Esav of Russia, you know how he served his father Yaakov with the clothing he used to put on. Every time his father wanted something from him, he would put on special clothing, which was Otomarishan's clothing, where if you wore it, the animals would be attracted to the clothing, and the hunter would very easily be able to kill the animal. Special clothing. Who owned it? Otom. Nimrod got it. Esav wanted it, so what does Esav do if he wants something? He kills the person to get it. So Esav is the epitome of a no-tail. He'll stop at nothing to get the clothing. And what did he do with that clothing? He wore that clothing when he served his father. And what is serving your father? The Chinuch says the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em is hakaras hatov, appreciation. Look what all your parents did for you. They gave you life. They gave you clothing. They gave you shelter. They took care of you. They gave you chinuch. They trained you. Everything that your parents did for you. So your parents gave to you. If you're a nosein, what do you have to give back? As we explained, appreciation. That's the least you can give back. So Esav is tremendous in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. The Gemara says, I think it was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, that I served my mother unbelievably. When my mother would put her foot down on the muddy ground, I would put my hand under her foot so she shouldn't step on the ground. And my Kibbud Av V'Em did not come to a hundredth of Esav HaRasha. So Esav HaRasha, on the one hand, is the epitome of Netilah, taking, a murderer. And on the other hand, he does the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, which is based on Nesina, on giving, to such an unbelievable amount. What is Esav? Is he a nosen or a notel? So on this, the Michtav Melio says his yesod, that giving for the purpose of taking, you're not a giver, you're a taker. Kanan was not telling his children, I want you to be a mafia. Who can steal better from people? An individual or a whole group that help each other? The whole group can steal better. So I'm telling you, you know how you'll be effective to steal from people? If you'll love one another. So give to each other so that you'll be able to take from them better. Esav HaRasha, his goal in life is taking. He wants the brachas from his father Yitzchak. Or, the Michtav Melio says, he wants his children to respect him in his old age like he's respecting his father. So his goal is, when he gets old, he wants his children to take care of him also. So he has to be a role model, what he's doing to his father. But what's his goal? Not to help his father. His goal is to help himself. He's the epitome of Netilah, taking. So whatever he gave to his father in Kibbud Av V'Em was only for the purpose of taking. The Michtav Melio says, when you do something loy l'shma, not for the right reason, you can do it with such force 100 times more than Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who did it l'shma. And you're doing it loy l'shma. You're doing it not for the right reason. But you, that can propel you to do it even 100 times greater than the person who's doing it lishma. So the bottom line is, Kanan and Esav are notel. So by the Chassida says, I'm going to give food, but not to every bird. I'm only going to give food to the fellow storks. Who is the, what is the stork the Chassida is showing? The Chassida is showing my chesed is only to people, to birds like me. So who, what am I, what's the purpose of my giving? My purpose is like Knan. I want to take. I want to preserve myself. What's the best way to preserve myself? If I'll protect my group and we'll all help each other, so then each of us will get a group together is stronger than each individual by himself. So I don't, you're not for my group, you're not going to help me. You don't get mizonis. It's only the birds that are going to help me, the my little group. So this, if we do chesed, and we only focus on, if you're a Svardi, you focus on only the Svardim get. I'm not going to help Ashkenaz. And Ashkenaz says, but not a Svardi. And a Hungarian says, not a Polish, and not a Yemenite. We're all Jews. Chaverim kol Yisrael. So if you're ethnocentric is the fancy English word. If you only self-preservation, the chassid is not 50% good and 50% bad. The chassid is totally treif, because such a chassid, which is only for yourself, is not nesin, it's not giving, it's netila you're taking. So my question now is, do I have a contradiction here between the lesson that we learned from the chassidah and the lesson that we learned from the Torah? Why don't I say that the Torah is like the Chassidah? It's faithful to its mate, but it's to the exclusion of everyone else. So maybe isn't that self-preservation? Maybe that's also not good. What's the difference? Why by the Chassidah I say it's a treif chesed? It's 100% no good. And the faithfulness that the Torah has to its mate, even when the mate dies, that is a great thing. That's faithfulness. Why isn't that also selfish, being ethnocentric? So I asked this question to Rav Belsky, and Rav Belsky said that there is a difference between an act of kindness and a relationship. By a tar with its mate, it's a relationship. A relationship transcends an act of kindness. By an act of kindness, you can go into looking, analyzing, am I giving it as a no-sane or as a no-tail? Am I taking in order, am I giving in order to take? That's by the lesson of the Chassidah. But in let's say a husband and wife or two good friends like David and Yonason, so there a bond that is created between two people. And I was thinking the same way as Rav Belsky, and I added the Mishnah says a love that is dependent on something. So when the something goes away, the love goes away. But the love of David and Yonason, which was not dependent on anything, Ava she'ena tuliya b'davar, that love stays forever because it's not dependent on anything. So what I tried to explain is that the love of David and Yonason, they were such close friends. Like we have a lashon by Binyamin and Yaakov, v'nafshoy k'shura b'nafshoy. His life was dependent on the other one's life. They were bound together. There is no davar, which means that there's not even the person himself. The person himself is bottled to the other person. There's no atzmius, there's no self. So when there's no self, you can only speak about giving and taking when you're giving something and you're taking something, you're giving it to another person. But when the bond between, in the relationship between the two people is so great, so then there's nothing that attaches us except our two become like one. There's not even the self. The self is not here. If the self is not here, there's no question about giving, taking. So that is the lesson of the Chassidah, is that when you do an act of chesed, which is not a relationship, an act of chesed, you have to do it to give. And the proof is, are you going to just give your own kind, or you're going to give every Jew? But by a relationship, there is no, it's above giving and taking. It's a bond between two people. There's no there's no dovor. There's nothing there, not even myself. So I can only talk about giving and taking for myself when I'm speaking about an act of kindness. But I'm speaking about a relationship, a bond that's above that, and there's no self. So it's for sure greater than giving and taking. It's forming a very close relationship. So I concluded there that my mother, Allah Shalom, her relationship with my father, Allah Shalom, and her children was that she herself was totally negated. She was like the Torah, that she had no nothing of herself. It was a total bonding of a relationship, which the faithfulness that we learn from the. From the Torah, that is the way she ran her life. And I spoke, it was my son's daughter, so my son is a Rosh Kollel, and he's involved in a Dover. What's his Dover? His Dover is Torah. Torah is also a Dover. The Pasuk says, Ki lekech tov nasati lochem, torasi al tazayvu. Hashem says, I gave you a very good mekach. I gave you a very good commodity. The commodity is called Torah. Don't forsake it. So Torah, we find, is called Torah's chesed. Torah is involved in chesed. In other words, when you share Torah with someone, it doesn't mean you necessarily have a relationship with them. You're giving them something which causes, it's a kindness. You're helping them spiritually, which is perhaps the greatest kindness. So here we have to watch out. There was someone who said about the Merkas Harav, the eight Kedoshim that we lost. They made a comment. Well, they were not. They didn't share our hashkafas. They're not from us. And a great Rosh Hashiva in America told me that statement is a shtus. It is totally false. We may have similar hashkafas, we may have different hashkafas, but a person who was nifter al kiddush Hashem, learning Hashem's Torah, whose blood was spilled on the Chumash, on the Gemara, to say such a thing, they're not from Unzura, they're not ours, that is, to me, to my understanding, following what this great Rosh Hashiva told me personally, that such thinking is shtus, It's the treif chesed of the chasida. If you're taking Torah, which is a commodity, you have to share it with everybody. That's what we said. When it's a bond of a relationship, that's one category. But when you're giving something to someone else, it's not a relationship. Then you have to view it. Is it giving or taking? And if you're only going to share it with similar Jews to you, then your whole Torah is a treif chesed. It's the chesed of the chasid. I'm only going to help myself. So I help my kind instead of helping myself. So my son, Baruch Hashem, his Torah is v'chol bonayich l'mudei Hashem. It's to all the Hashem's children they should learn Torah. Chaveirim kol Yisrael, we say in davening. All Jews are chaveirim together. So somebody, I was sitting in a shul in Lakewood, and somebody came over to me. He knew my brother, Oliver Shalom, and he said, I have to tell you something that your brother told me once. And it came out, I used it in this drasha. We say on Shabbos, kol oiskim imatzibur, whoever helps the community with faithfulness, Hashem will give them all kinds of blessings. So he said, what's the kol ha'oiskim b'tzarchet tzibur b'amuna? It should be the ha'oiskim b'tzarchet tzibur b'amuna. Whoever helps other people, Hashem will give them, Hashem yisham schar, Hashem will give them reward. So he told me, I don't know if it's my brother's own shot or somebody else's, but in the name of my brother, he said, a person could do help other people 50, you know, 75. Kol ha'oiskim. He's an oisek with his total being, his entirety. He helps other people with his total being. That's his pshat. What I wanted to say is that he's oisek to help other people, not five people or 10 people or his own kind of people. He's oisek with kol. He doesn't look. He's colorblind. He doesn't look. What type of Jew? What background the Jew has? Doesn't matter. From birth or Balchuva or Sephardic, Ashkenazi, Polish, Yemenite. Doesn't matter. He's a kol oiskim b'tzarchi tzibur. So the blessing was that if a person is kol oiskim, he does it with his entirety, and he does it to everybody. And I said that my son is that type, that he's helping every kind of Jew who wants to learn. He has all kinds of programs for every kind of Jew, and he does it with his entire being. So he should be zeichet to the bracha that we say over there, Hashem Yisham Scharam, and v'yirpa l'chol machla, v'yislach l'chol avoinam, v'yishlach bracha v'atzach b'chol ma'asi adem. Over and over again, the word kol, but there's one condition. Im Kol Yisrael, with all the Jewish people, if he does it, helping all Jewish people together, so then he can get all the brachas. And I had another thought, but the time is running late. We'll leave that for another time. I wish everybody a chag kosher v'sameach. The next year, Mirat Hashem, will be after Pesach, a week later on May 7th. Have a wonderful Yontif.